I would like to look at the tax treatment of provisions, which are put through a set of accounts for tax purposes. A provision is effectively an estimate of expenditure, which may have been incurred, or losses which may have been sustained. They do not necessarily affect actual expenditure, but are a reliable estimate in working out the cost of a particular item to a business. The problem is that the revenue don't like them. This is given by the very old case of Southern Railways of Peru Limited, whereby the revenue only accepted a provision provided it had been specifically calculated, i.e., the revenue did not like companies simply putting through what was essentially an estimate in the accounts, thereby wiping out substantial amounts of taxable profit. Where they could show a fundamental basis for the figures computed, then the provision would be allowed. So this case set the principle that provisions are only allowable where they are specific. The revenue's bi-monthly publication, Tax Bulletin, issue number 44, released in December 1999, has now been incorporated into the revenue's Business Income Manual, paragraph 46510. It sets out the revenue's views on the deductibility of provisions. The bulletin basically says that the revenue will accept provisions as deductible if 1. They relate to allowable revenue expenditure, revenue being defined here for tax purposes. 2. They follow generally accepted accounting principles, which nowadays means the application of FRS 12, cemented by the Herbert Smith case. 3. They do not conflict with any specific tax rule given by statutory provisions or case law. And 4. They can be estimated with sufficient accuracy. So the entity must prove that all four of these criteria have been met before a provision will be deductible for tax purposes. As FRS 12 is the accounting standard which specifically deals with provisions, it is important, given the revenue's view in Tax Bulletin, that we understand exactly when FRS 12 enables us to make a provision. Under FRS 12, a provision is permitted if it meets all three of the following conditions. 1. The entity has a present obligation resulting from a past event. In other words, this event has taken place by the balance sheet date. 2. It is probable that economic benefits will be required to settle this obligation. In other words, that the event has caused us to spend money, or has likely caused us to spend money. And 3. A reliable estimate can be made. Therefore, to make a provision acceptable for tax purposes, we must meet all three of these conditions. The whole issue of the allowability of provisions under FRS 12 centers around whether the entity has an obligation. What type of obligations are we dealing with here? First of all, legal obligations. These may be given by some form of contract, such as a lease, a service agreement, or warranties issued to customers. By signing a lease or providing a warranty, the entity has basically committed itself to incur expenditure in the future. A legal obligation could also arise by the operation of legislation, such as the Sale of Goods Act, which requires a retailer to provide 1-year guarantees on certain types of product, consumer law, or the Financial Services and Markets Act of 2000. Where an entity can prove that it has an obligation under a particular statutory provision which requires it to spend money, and which it can reliably estimate, then a provision will be required under FRS 12. Obligations can also be constructive, in that if an entity has established a past practice or published policies indicating it will accept certain responsibilities, and there is a valid expectation that those responsibilities will be discharged, then a provision will be required under FRS 12. For instance, a business under the Sale of Goods Act is required to give certain statutory guarantees on products. But if the business in its consumer policies or other business practice provides warranties over and above the statutory requirements, then provisions should be made in the accounts to reflect the cost of those provisions. The importance of identifying obligations is not just an accounting one. If we can find more provisions, we can actually reduce the accounting profit, in some cases substantially, and as a result of Revenue Tax Bulletin 44, these provisions will be allowed for tax purposes. So, if we can show that an obligation actually exists, not only is the entity recommended to make a provision under FRS 12, it is actually required. It naturally follows that tax relief will be allowed, which is cemented in the decision in Herbert Smith and Honour. Some provisions do anticipate losses. In the past, the revenue firmly believed that losses could not be anticipated for tax purposes. This was published in their Statement of Practice 390. However, in the case of Herbert Smith, the firm anticipated losses on subletting of properties, which were allowed for tax purposes, on the basis that they followed generally accepted accounting principles. As a result, Statement of Practice 390 was withdrawn by the revenue, as it no longer has a valid basis. Consequently, there is no general rule anymore that losses cannot be anticipated for tax purposes. What we must look at clearly is whether the provision for the loss accords with FRS 12. Finally, let us consider the Jenner's case. Jenner's was a department store which needed to undergo a refurbishment, so a provision was put through the accounts. The company argued that the repairs were necessary under the terms of the lease. The revenue argued that Section 74D required amounts relating to repairs to have actually been expended to obtain a tax deduction. As far as they were concerned, expended meant spent, and consequently, the repair provision was not allowable. It was finally held that expended did not mean spent out in cash, but could also include amounts accrued under accounting principles. This is yet another case giving weight to accounting principles. IASs allow the recognition of future profits and losses. In general, income is recognized when there is an increase in future economic benefit, and that increase relates to either an increase in an asset or a decrease in a liability, which can be measured reliably. The use of fair value accounting and year-end revaluations may cause problems. This is because such adjustments are not normally represented by cash movements, whereas a tax liability will have a cash impact. The revenue have the power to make regulations requiring amounts included in calculating actual profit or loss to be left out of the tax computations. We will have to wait and see to what extent this is used to alleviate such problems. That concludes this session on the tax treatment of provisions.